and welcome to Game of Thrones, the podcast where I, Emily Bateman, finally start watching Game of Thrones to see what all the fuss is about. My guest today, Shannon Early, is probably one of the most enthusiastic people I have ever spoken to on the podcast. She joined me for Season 3, Episode 2, Dark Wings, Dark Words. So let's get into it. Today I'm covering Season 3, Episode 2, Dark Wings, Dark Words with Shannon Early. How are you doing?
Hello, Emily. I'm super pumped.
Yay! I'm so glad. So since this is your first time on the show, I wanted to hear about your relationship with the show, when you started watching, that kind of thing.
All right. So my husband and I are like super wicked nerdy. And back in the day, we were into Ren Fairs and like historical costuming, just like nerdy as you can go. Dungeons and Dragons, whatevs. And so he ended up showing me Game of Thrones. And he had read the first book, like cover to cover. It was peeling off because he had reread it. And then I read it. And basically, we just both became hooked. And when the new releases would come out, we'd kind of like fight over the book, you know, like, it's my turn to bring it to the bathroom. You know what I mean? And yeah, so like we were always like, oh, we're going to get tattoos and it's going to be like, yours is going to say, you're my sun and sky and mine's the moon and star, you know, from Daenerys and Khal Drogo. Yes. Anywho, then it came popular and it's like, well, we can't do that now because other people are doing it. That's not cool. So anyways, then Game of Thrones came out and we've always been like a don't spend money on frivolous things kind of person. So we've always had PBS. And when Game of Thrones came out on HBO, we were like, all the subscriptions, you know?
Gotta do it.
Yeah, man. So we, like, I don't know. I don't know how long it made to talk about it, but I've got a huge lady boner for Game of Thrones.
So you were pretty much from the start. You had read the books. You knew what was going on. So, like, when you heard it was coming, you're like, this is our jam. We're going to jump into it.
100%. 100%. Okay. We even had like, there's, I don't know if you've ever heard of like Magic the Gathering or any of those kind of cards.
My husband plays that. Yes.
So great. Okay. So we used to do it all the time. And then during Game of Thrones, like all the books and stuff before smartphones were really a thing, I think we played a lot more games together, my husband and I. But anyways, they had a Game of Thrones card game. And that was even fun. So, like, our house, we have, like, a shield on the wall and a coat of arms. Like, it's crazy. And we don't, like, sacrifice animals, but, like, so you can tell we like the Renaissance. You know what I'm saying? So, anyways, we love it. And I think that the storytelling and the character development is just, it's just badass.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, for sure. So you had the displeasure of having to wait every week and then every year for seasons. You never got to binge it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
To be on the starting line. But you could always say, I liked it before it was popular, right?
I know. Like, I'm super hipster about it. Like, we watched it when...
when no one else was, yeah. Yeah. When they didn't have the money for CGI stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I was listening to one of your episodes and the chick talked about binging like 7 seasons in a month.
I know.
I was like aghast. I was horrified. Like, what? You've got to soak it in for like weeks at a time. Got to marinate in it. Just kidding. But like, we've never had the opportunity to binge it, you know? So I would have, girl. Yeah. I would have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes because it's so visual that sometimes it's easier to just keep watching and watching and watching. I feel like, you know, if I wasn't doing this podcast, I would probably continue, you know, watch a few in a row because it's like I'll wait like a week to watch something and you won't have seen this character for like 2 weeks. I'm like, what is this guy's name again? Who is this guy? I know he's important, but I don't remember.
Well, and because we even read the books and I still am like, I don't know this dude's name. Like, because it looks so different than like what I imagined. And so I don't know. But I just love like the scenery even in the show. Do you like the different world development?
Yeah, it's grown on me a lot. I like the world. I think there's still a lot that we haven't seen or covered that like they just kind of focus on different parts. And then a lot of the time you don't know where anyone is, like all these little like groups of 2 or 3 people. You're like, well, they're going somewhere, but I don't know where they are right now. And I'm sure in the book they'd be like, well, they're in this such and such field or whatever forest or something. And I'm just like, they're in the woods, I think. in the south, or they're going south. Right. So I think, yeah, I think it would be, you know, reading it would probably be, enhance the actual world building.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, dude. It would also really enhance the frustration, because all those times in the show where they're like, we're going to spend time with these fucking people that no one cares about for two episodes and not talk about the main people. And there's like this frustration of like, get to the point. But at the same time, I think it builds up such a fun, like, anticipation. You know what I'm saying? And then Martin does this thing where as soon as you're like, all right, I'll get in with this gang of people, then he switches back to the first people, and you're like, come on, man.
Yeah. It's very – I've always called it a soap opera. It's a fantasy soap opera.
Oh, girl, it is. It is. As my husband says, Star Wars is a space opera. Anywho, whatever.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, girl. I'm sorry. I can talk forever.
No, you're good. So I guess we'll get – we hit quite a few places, so we'll, I guess we'll get we'll just jump into it. So we start with the – the younger Stark kids, and immediately I'm like, well, this is clearly a dream, because Bran's running around. I'm like, you can't do that. So, no, it's a dream. But he looks, and I know this is, you know, because this is a different season, he looks a lot older, the actor. Yes. So that was very, like, much more mature, like, less childlike. His face is thinner and everything. So then that dang crow appears, which I knew it was going to. And then...
you dang, like, crow.
You dang three-eyed crow. He's about to kill it. And then...
yes.
Oh, and then his brothers appear. And I was like, this is cool. Like, a little bit of a flashback and stuff. That was nice. You never see them together anymore.
I know.
And then you hear Ned's voice. And then all of a sudden, the kid from Finding Neverland appears. Like, what?
I kept being like, where the is this kid from? His stupid eyes. I've seen these stupid eyes, girl.
Yep. Girl. Yep. That's where he's from. That's where he's from.
I love that you said that. Yeah. Well, he's hanging out with friggin' Theodora Tonks. Did you know that? What's her face? The wildling woman.
Oh, sure. Brand? Yeah. I know. Yeah. Harry Potter.
All the universes.
Yeah, all the British ones, apparently. Not, you know, we're not allowed to have Americans in here. So he's like, oh, you know, like, you can't kill the raven, dumbass. It's you. And it's like, what? What? And then Bran wakes up and it's like, what just happened?
Yeah. What did you think about that when he was like, the raven's you? Did it make sense at all to you?
I kind of, because then whenever he talks to Osha, although she was a little standoffish this time about his dreams, I mean, it makes, like, she's been kind of alluding to, like, well, you can tell the future, basically, or, like, you can see shit. So, and before, my friends have, you know, mentioned that, like, the third eye is, like, you know, of sight and knowledge and stuff like that. So I wasn't surprised about that. I was more surprised about another dude in his dream that, like, talked to him. Because that was the first time he had seen another person. It was always just animals.
Right. Oh, I didn't realize that.
So so here, like, Osha just, like, seems really concerned. Like, she didn't want to hear about it all of a sudden. She's really on edge, and she calls it black magic. And Bran's like, well, it's not my fault. Like, I didn't want this. And she's like, I know, but I don't want to hear about it. I'm like, well, that – she's the only one that was able to explain anything to him. So I'm like, why are you being so weird about it now?
That's a good point.
But, like – It was odd. Like, I know she's, like, trying to protect everyone, and she's basically in charge, and she's got a lot to worry about, because she has Rickon, who just runs away. She's got Hodor, who doesn't say much. And then she's got, you know, this crippled child who, you know, has visions, and it's like, she's got a lot to do.
Yeah. Still, though, like, doesn't it seem sometimes when you're like, come on, character, like, out of all the things you're doing, like, you're literally just walking. Like, all you guys have to do is talk. That's it. That's your entertainment. And you don't want to hear about this dude's visions? Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I mean, I know she is technically a wildling, and she believes in different things and stuff. And I'm like, you know things that you're not telling him. So why would you not educate him? Because you're with him. Like, you promised to protect him. So help him by educating him, because the maester didn't know about his stuff. He was like, oh, you know, dreams don't come true half the time. And he's like, well, mine did. So, dude.
Yeah. Well, I know when I saw when it opened up and his brothers were there, it was like, it was really kind of sad, wasn't it? Like, just it was bittersweet, but it was like, oh my goodness, these boys, like, their family is just torn apart. Mm-hmm. It's It's awful.
Yeah. That it was more upsetting than I expected, because I was like, oh my gosh, like that was, you know, throwback to like first episode where they're just yes. hanging out and they're just being kids because they can be, because they're living Aww. At their house with their dad and their mom. And there's like, it's just, it was very chill. And yes. I was upset about that. And I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Well, and also when you talked about how Brian looked older, like that poor kid, poor kid, the way he has to grow up on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, it's very similar to Harry Potter, where those kids were like 10, and then they had to grow up over like 10 years in the screen. That's
rough. They have a beard. They're like, I'm 12.
Yeah, like shaggy hair, stage. Yeah, so yeah, anyone that goes through puberty on screen is rough.
Oh, I know.
So then we go to another Stark kid. We go to the Stark whatever camp. Oh, like Rob's.
Do you
just
mean like Winterfell?
No, because they're in Harrenhal, remember? So it's like the war camp. So Rob's like being broody and emo and staring into a fire and giving John a run for his money. And like Talisa's like, oh, I never thought I'd get married, much less to a stinky northern person. Yeah. And he's like, what? This guy, Lord Bolton, appears. And I was unaware that everyone knew that they had gotten married. That was not clear in the first episode of the season. So he's like, oh, my queen. And I was like, I'm sorry. The fuck? That wasn't the secret wedding? That was the everyone knows that you broke your promise wedding? Okay, cool.
No. Well, I'm glad he found love. There we go. Somebody has to have a happy part of their life.
No, it's going to go bad for them. I'm predicting, because he broke a promise to Frey, it's not going to go well.
Everything goes good for the Starks. So I firstly don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I can tell you right there, you're lying.
I know. Yeah, Shannon Early, the liar from Virginia. I don't know. Like, that's really interesting that you caught on to that promise jam.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody else talks about a promise later in the episode, if you remember.
Oh yeah, with Cersei, I think.
Catelyn is talking to, I was gonna call the girl Toulouse. What the hell?
Alisa?
Rob's wife. Oh, yeah. Oh
god. Okay, yeah, that was rough. We'll get to that.
I should have written stuff like in order as opposed to notes all over like a psycho. That's fine.
That's why I take them in order. Don't worry. I've got you. So Lord Bolton comes in. There's word from River Run and Winterfell, which I did not remember where River Run was. Wow. That's a tongue twister in itself. So basically, Kat's father died. Okay. I don't really care. He's in
Nobody
River.
Cares.
I didn't. And then we find out that Winterfell was burned to the ground, which we did know. And that so far, Bran and Rickon have not been found, which dun dun dun. Oh no. Like and then Kat's like, well, have you heard any demands from Theon or anything? And I was like, and then we cut to Theon, of course.
Yeah, right.
What happened to him? Ah.
Theon, that little bitch. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know. So how she didn't know where, like, how nobody knew, like, what the deal with the boys was.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's not giving anything away because you do see them alive in this episode.
Yeah.
But during the book, Martin does a lot of things where, like, something intense will happen to the character and it's the last page of that chapter. And then it goes immediately to another character somewhere else.
Oh,
so
wow.
So in the book, it actually talks about how there's two little boys' heads on like a pike or something like that outside of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you pretty sure that it's the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't think I was pregnant yet. No, I wasn't. But I picked up the book and I threw it down so hard. And I started scream crying at my husband. Why would you make me read this shit? This is awful. Like, I was so upset. The same thing with Ned Stark, dude. I called him up when he was at work crying, like sobbing. And he's like, all I can say is just keep reading. Anyway. But yeah, reading it in the book was so horrible. I for sure thought they were dead.
And I think they also kind of did that last season where Theon takes the two farmers' kids and burns them outside of like the gate of Winterfell. And then people
That's
think
what it- I'm talking about. Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, because Catelyn still doesn't know where they are. So she's still thinking, like, she doesn't know what the deal is, right? Like, she doesn't know that they're farmers' kids, right?
it sounded like she didn't know about those kids at all because she wasn't there.
Right. That's what I, but see, that's what I'm telling you is, oh, you're saying
she knows nothing about anything. She didn't even know
that there was no kids.
Right. All that Rob says is Bran and Rickon have not been found. So, I mean, that doesn't, he didn't say bodies of children have been found. He just said they haven't been found. So I think she's still hopeful, but she thinks they're with Theon because, and we don't know what happened to Winterfell. We just know it burned somehow. She thinks that Theon and the Iron Islanders did that. The viewers do not know who killed all those people in Winterfell, who burned everything, who has Theon. So
that's right. Nobody knows.
So I think she's just like, well, they're hostages now, pretty much.
I can't even imagine, dude. Catelyn, all of her sons, like all of her children, are being like cast to the wind, dude. That's awful. That's awful.
Yeah, that's a family that's pretty much been split up the most. Like none of them are together except for the two youngest ones. And even when some people think both of the girls are in King's Landing, they're not.
So. Right. Right. Or when they are, like Arya's running around like a little street rat or whatever as Sansa's in the cast. Like it's just.
Yeah.
Just get along, guys. Yeah. Well, plus like. And you love the Starks in the beginning because it's what you're introduced to. And so it's very striking when you're like, what the hell, Martin? Like, why are you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't necessarily love them. I thought they were all kind of one-dimensional. But, I mean, they grew on me. So I like some of them now.
Yeah, fair enough. Rob's
not my favorite right now. I don't think he's doing a good job. John is an idiot to me. So
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I like them more now than I did before.
I really feel for Sansa, dude. Like, I know everybody loves Arya, but, like, I've got such this thing. I just feel like out of all the kids, though, like, Sansa's getting mind-effed all day. Like, she's in constant fear of being killed or her family. It's just awful. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's intense. So then they ask about Theon, and then we cut to Theon, and all we know is that he's getting tortured, and we don't know who it is.
He's like,
yeah, he's having a great time. He doesn't know where he is, and he doesn't know. Because I think at that point, it was still, like, blurry. Like, you couldn't see who the people were. And then he's like, well, what do you want? And they were like, oh, well, I want to do this. And they just, like, peel his fingernail off. And I was like, oh, that's exciting. Cool,
Did you keep your eyes on the screen, or did you turn away?
I think I did look. Well, okay, to be fair, and this is a side note that I'll probably cut out, but I have had like a toenail ripped off accidentally before. So it's not so it's not totally uncommon. It does not feel good.
I can't watch it. I'll listen and then you hear the little squishily noises. I'm like, dude, I can't do it.
I'd say the one that was worse was when they were in Harrenhal with the rat burrowing through his chest. That was much worse when I realized what was going to happen. That was way worse to me. That one I looked away.
Good. Okay. All right. So your limit is rat burrowing.
Right now.
Not toenail chafing.
No. Right now. Shaking. Yeah. We don't know. Slice shaving? I don't know.
Doesn't even sound bad.
No. No, it sounds fine then. So that was real quick. So then we cut to basically Brienne and Jaime because they're their own little walking party. And they're very interesting. I like the combo. And Jaime is just constantly running his mouth. Like, I cannot imagine how annoying he must be the entire because they only show parts of it. So like, he's talking the entire time. There's not a time where he's not talking.
Yes.
So he wants to find out about how Brienne came to work for only Catelyn because he's like, well, you weren't at Winterfell when I was just there. So this is a new thing. And he like talks his way into finding out that she served Renly first and then just starts talking shit about Renly. And I'm like,
I love it.
Jeez. And he's like, well, I grew, you know, I was around him the whole time. And so he's like,
something about him prancing around like
something
in
like
his
that,
silk robe or something.
In the court with his silk robes and everything. So then Jaime, I guess rightly guesses, we don't really know the relationship at this point between Brienne and Renly and why she was so devoted to him, but he guesses that she was in love with him. Like, she doesn't believe his quote slander that he was gay. And then at that point, Jamie's like, well, hey, you know, it's not your fault. We can't choose who we love. Like, no judgment here, which was incredibly pointed. Like, okay, dude, you're in love with your twin sister. Like, be cool.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yes. Yes.
But it was nice of him to say that.
Okay, so Jamie, I think, is so smart. Like, even, yes, the running your mouth thing, but you got to think he's, like, constantly, like, thinking. Just like his brother Tyrion. They're constantly, like, trying to manipulate people in some kind of way for their advantage and looking at, like, the next step. And I think with Jamie, I think him running his mouth like that is such, like, a strength and a tool that he's using against Brienne. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
he's in shackles, and also this lady's a beast. Like, she could. So, like, he knows exactly how far to go without going too far, but at the same time, enough to distract her. You know, I don't know. I just love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And Brienne, like, how stoic she is, and like you can see her getting rankled. I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely, like, she is smart and very strong, but, like, he's a little bit quicker with, like, the words and the wit because, like, you know, he was like, well, did you serve Stannis? She's like, gods, no. And it's like, okay, well, you served Renly then. So I understand, like, I got that out of you without actually asking who you were serving first. So it's like, and then, you know, silence can be seen as a yes. So it's like, oh, well, did you love him? Of course you didn't tell him because he was married and all this stuff. Like, damn, okay. Like, I mean, yeah, he's incredibly smart. And it's nice to see that side of him because he was just a shithead the first season. Yeah. So, like, and he was just, he had little quips, but he didn't show how smart he actually was.
Yeah, that's true. I just wish he wasn't always banging his sister, bro. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
It just takes away from the likability, sweet baby Jamie. When you, I don't know if you've talked to other people about it, but how do people feel like, has anybody talked about the way Brienne looks compared to like what they thought she would look like in the book or anything like that before?
No, nobody's brought up her description in the book versus how she looks.
I just want to say when she was cast, I was like, hell yeah. Like, so great. Like, I think they did such a good job with Kat. Like, I don't know. I kept thinking, because Brienne in the book is actually one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. And my husband is always like, no way, man. Like, she's not cool at all. Because he always had a boner for Jon Snow. Like, he and Jon Snow were boyfriends. But me and Brienne, I was like, I love this girl. Like, I love how unwavering she is.
Yeah.
Even when she should. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but she's like a paladin, you know, like, that knight in Dungeons and Dragons that like always has to do good, even if it affects the party negatively. Like,
yeah.
And I love that about her. But in the book, she was picked on a lot for actually looking masculine. And basically she's just, she is one of those girls where, you know, like she wanted to be a knight and everybody laughed at her. And I don't know. I just love that about her. And Renly, I guess, you know, they talked about her serving him. Did they, I don't remember if they showed anything about like their relationship at all.
No, I know no backstory about her at all. I know nothing about her besides she served Renly, was incredibly devoted to him, and then everything forward. So she's still quite a mystery to me. She doesn't talk about her past very much at all or anything.
Yeah, no, she's a tight-lipped lady, which
is
great because the way she fights also is like more of a, like a deliberate, like a deliberate lumbering, like a larger thing. And then Jamie's got that quick, fast, hard. And I feel like it's kind of matches their personality. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Cause we haven't seen either one of them fight very much.
I love them together. Just so you know. Okay. Not romantically, you know, girl, but just as like walking down the road, shooting the shit. It's so fun.
They're a good buddy cop show, basically.
Exactly the word. Good one.
Yeah. So let's see. So then they run into a guy going to River Run, which seems to be a theme. Everyone's going to the funeral. And Jamie's like, that guy knew who we were. We should kill him.
What do you think? What did you think when you saw that?
I wasn't really sure. Like, he seemed, I don't know. I just know that they left it very open at the end of the scene. So it wasn't because she was thinking about it, but it wasn't positive. But she could have killed him. Like, we don't know until later on.
I will say the first time I watched that, I thought he was a good guy. I thought Jamie was being like a piece of shit. Just like,
I thought he was, just being paranoid, honestly. Or like,
yeah,
I didn't
think he was
like, kill this dude. Yeah. I didn't think he was like, well, just kill this dude just in case. I think, you know, like, yeah, I just overthinking it or something, and she didn't want to because he didn't give her any, which I don't fault her for that decision. Right. I mean, at the end, it's like, Jamie's like, well, I was right. And it's like, okay, thanks. But, you know.
Well, rewatching it though, dude, like he does give, the villager gives like a look at the end, which I never noticed the first time.
Oh, does he like look back?
Yes. And I was like, I should have seen it. Anywho.
Oh, well.
Because yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't know whose character is what yet. So you're right. It's just different.
Right. And you could interpret it a different way. Like, you know, because I mean, didn't the guy make the joke of like, oh, you know, like your woman's got the better or something like.
Right. Well, Brienne looks crazy. Like she's giant. She looks.
Yeah, but he made like a comical joke versus like, you know, making fun of her or something. So I was like, okay, well, this dude, he's chill. So like he's making a nice conversation and then they leave.
Well, and he has like a wheelbarrow. Obviously, he's jolly. Like he's a farmer, dude.
I don't know if that correlates exactly, but I mean, they also have Bran in a wheelbarrow. So really, I mean, they're not
really, instead of dark wings, dark words, it should just be like the wheelbarrows of River Run. Say that one 7 times fast. Yeah.
No, I can barely say River Run. All right. So then we go to King's Landing and we're there for quite a while. And we finally get like Joffrey kind of by himself because we haven't focused on him in a while, which why would we? So he's like, you know, helping like some, I don't know if they're like making an outfit for him or something. I'm not really sure.
He's clothes shopping with his mom.
basically. And then he like gets really mad that there are florals, which I mean, yeah, like I wouldn't want that either if I was like a 15-year-old king. Yeah, he clearly wants to look manly. And so Cersei asks him, oh, you know, what do you think of Margaery? Which, you know, she's very obvious what she thinks of Margaery. But he goes on to talk about, you know, what a smart match it is and what a great, you know, combination of families and a good marriage. And then she's like, okay, but like, what do you actually think of her? Mm-hmm. And so Joffrey kind of gets pissed and he's like, why are you, he's losing his patience, which I think is good. I think good in a way that he's thinking for himself because Cersei isn't great, but he's not great. So I'm like, I don't know if I want her, like, are his ideas better than his mom's? I don't know. I just think it's nice to see someone like putting Cersei down finally.
Right. Well, and it kind of seems like Cersei is much more comfortable being in the power seat. And I think most of the things she does are to manipulate Joffrey. And Joffrey is kind of been manipulated by everybody. You know what I'm saying? Even his dad that was an alcoholic treated it. So like, I don't know. I think it, I remember thinking when I watched this, like, oh, maybe he's going to stand up for Margaery. Like, this could be cool. Like, you know how like teenagers do the, go their own way or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But you could, I don't know. It almost seemed like she wanted to know, like, what do you think of her? Like, almost like in a sexual way or something. Didn't it seem like?
Yeah. Like she really wanted to know, like, are you attracted to her? Do you think she's pretty? Cause she like keeps talking shit about how little clothing she wears and everything.
Right. And I think Cersei's jealous of the way totally. She looks.
Totally. And like, just doesn't like that. She has her own opinions, has her own thoughts. And like, is more of a challenger than Sansa ever was to her.
Right.
And I think Joffrey is much more interested in Margaery than he ever was in Sansa. It's a different, you know, if you could say it was attraction with Sansa, it's a different attraction because Margaery's playing the game. And Cersei was like, well, she's up to something. And I think Joffrey says she's an intelligent woman, but intelligent women do what they're told. And I was like, well, that's an interesting thing to say.
Yes. Yeah, like, okay, bro.
Yeah, like, that's not really how intelligence works, but okay, we'll go with that. Yeah, I think he's definitely being won over by her. So whatever Margaery's up to, she's going to get him into it. Yes. Because Cersei is losing her grasp on Joffrey, and Margaery is winning her, I think.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, in the book, it talks a lot about Margaery always having, like, a, not necessarily, like, a smirk, but, like, a smile or something. And I love that the character does this.
Yes. She's, you know, so like, good. She's, at that.
Yes, definitely. I was real excited to see how they casted her.
Let's see. Then we go to Sansa and Shay, who I am concerned about. So, and they're talking about, I guess, the offer that Littlefinger gave to Sansa, and Shay doesn't believe that it was for nothing. And she says, men only want one thing from a pretty girl, which that's what I was saying before. And Sansa, she's seen so much, but she's still so naive, and it makes me upset that she hasn't learned. Because she's like, well, he doesn't love me. He loves my mom. And she's like, that's not what he wants. Like, he doesn't love you. That's not what he wants to do. Like, be sensible. Like, understand what's going on.
Yes.
And so he goes so far as to say, if he asks for anything, tries anything, or literally touches you, tell me and I will stop him.
What did you think about Santa trusting him? So you think he's a like an untrustworthy person right now?
Oh, he's a piece of shit. No. Yes. No one can. No, she should never trust him. Yeah, I recorded the previous episode last week, and no, he is up to no good. He will not help her in some way. I don't think he will fulfill his end of the bargain. And I think it's very dangerous because, yes, he was in love with his mom or her mom. So that's a problem. Like, you know, and he even made the joke of like, oh, I get Harrenhal now. I need to have a wife and kids to like fill it. I'm concerned. I'm worried about Sansa that she's just going to get stuck.
And that's what I'm saying. Everybody's using her, man. She has to, I don't know. It's almost like she has to pick who will kill her less. Like,
I guess.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. I think I'd rather have sex with Littlefinger than be crossbowed by Joffrey. I don't
know. Yeah, she could have left with the Hound. I'm so mad. That's a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. That I've already been mad about multiple times. But yeah, so now she's at least got Shay, who has grown, in my opinion, because of how protective of Sansa she is, not because of her relationship with Tyrion. But I'm glad that she's taking it seriously when Sansa clearly isn't.
See, but I felt like Shay always seemed sketchy anyways. Like, did she already talk to Tyrion? Didn't they already have their little...
That's later in the episode.
She just seems like a player, yo.
I think she is to Tyrion. But I think she genuinely cares for Sansa, or else she wouldn't have done all this. Like, she didn't, because I mean, she was assigned to her, but she didn't have to help her. She didn't have to like try and hide that she got her period. She didn't have to, what else did she do? She didn't have to tell her like, you know, not to say shit. Cause I think at one point she said that she hated Joffrey and she's like, don't say that. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff she could have just either told the queen or told someone else. So, I mean, unless she's playing the game real hard, And I'd be very upset. I don't think she has Sansa's, like, I think she has Sansa's interest at heart, even if she might not have Tyrion's.
That makes sense.
I'm not sure why, but I enjoy that she has someone that she can actually trust, I think.
Well, I can tell you in the card game I used to play, Shay was one of my favorite characters because she was definitely different looking than this Shay, which also I think always pissed me off. The Shay in like the books and the card game is kind of like a comic book woman where like the most giant boobs you can imagine. And like, do you know what I mean? So I don't know. I always felt like, are you really Shay? I don't know.
She wasn't curvy enough for you?
No, she didn't. She wasn't that comic. She wasn't like a cosplay star. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but you can't make real people look like that.
Have you seen cosplayers? They put stuff some places, okay?
Yeah, but I think that's, yes, there's butt padding and stuff like that. But like, why would you, I don't know, for a show like this where I think that's a little unnecessary.
Listen, I know. Well, I also was angry the way Cersei looked too. I'm just going to.
Oh, okay.
I'm a butt. I know. See, you're seeing it from the show's angle. But like, did you read Harry Potter first or watch the movies first? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I was the right age to read Harry Potter.
So did you ever get frustrated by some of the characters, the way they look?
I don't think at the time. I think thinking about it now, especially with the age of like Snape and the parents and everything like that. And then the fact that his eyes were blue instead of green. That was weird.
Ooh, good point.
But I think overall, I was mad when I was a child seeing the movies that they didn't do the whole story. Like they skipped a lot of parts. It wasn't the casting as much.
Yeah, well, I was mad to find out her name was pronounced Hermione and not Hermione. Like I, like I would read in my own head.
Right. Well, we didn't know Seamus Finnegan. Like we read the four books, and I think we kept saying, oh, I don't even know how we Seamus. Yeah.
Yes.
And then eventually, my mom was like, "I think he's Irish, and it's Seamus." And we're like, "What the hell?" Oh no!
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks, I think now, you know, if there was anything that I read that they cast someone, I would be more upset. But when I was a kid, no, I didn't care about that. It was more, they left this part out and they missed this part and they messed this up and everything. My mom always likes to say that when we walked out of the movie, I listed like 10 things that were wrong with the movie because they weren't in the book. But they were in the books and not in the movie. And she's like, what is going on? And I was like, whoops.
See, okay, so there's a little bit of baby Shannon right inside of your heart. I can see a little bit of it there, of my, like, panties in a bunch over, like, her hair wasn't the right shade of gold, I imagined.
I don't even know when the first movie, I think it was in, like, maybe middle school when the first movie came out. So, yeah, I was definitely.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, all right. Sorry. Okay. So you were talking about Shay talking to Sansa, and then I threw you off the
deep end. So basically, Sansa doesn't take Shay seriously. She's like, okay, whatever. And then Sir Loras, this dick, appears at her door, and I'm like, well, this is an odd, like, why are you here?
Right.
And then he's like, oh, well, Margaery wants to walk with you and her grandmother in the garden. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, grandmother's a new person. Second of all, like, why?
Right.
And Shay, again, looks concerned, but Sansa's like, this is fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then they walk into this, like, dope-ass garden. I'm like, where the hell has this been the entire time? Like, this is
in King's
Landing. I'm like, no one's been. Why does nobody spend their time there? Like, I would be there all the time if I was stuck there. Jeez.
Yeah, and having them bring you plates of cheese? Hell yeah, bro.
And cake? Yes, absolutely. So it's the grandmother is the Lady Olena, I think?
Yeah, yep.
Who is like this no-nonsense woman who just talks shit. And I was like, yes. Okay, like, this is interesting. Yes. And she's like, I didn't want to be in this war, but here we are, and whatever.
Did you
and
trust her, or how do you feel about her?
I don't know. Because they, like, I like that she was being real, and even Margaery was like, okay, like, chill out. But I worry that they had, you know, they're looking out for themselves. Like, right. They want to know about Joffrey, and like,
right.
Like, we've heard rumors and everything. So I know, I don't know. I'm not sure. Because yeah. Margaery is definitely up to something in general.
Yeah, like, she's hella smart. Yeah.
Exactly. And she's been playing Joffrey the entire time. She's not in love with this 15-year-old. No.
Right. Which, though, maybe makes you think that they're trustworthy because they're already playing Joffrey. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And they, you know, they kind of played to Sansa as well. Like, well, you know, I am going to marry this guy, so, like, help me out. But, yeah. You know, Sansa is learned to keep her, you know, her mouth shut, basically, and to say the right things. Because even when, you know, Tyrion would check up on her, she's like, nope, you know, my dad was a bad person, so was my brother, I deserve all this shit. And Tyrion's like, oh my god, like, you don't, but, like, I can't do anything because I'm a Lannister, so you don't trust me. I don't know, I'm still on the fence about them. I want her to have more people that she can confide in, but I worry that they only wanted to get answers from her for their own gain and not to really protect Sansa. Because I think, didn't she say, she's like, we would never betray your confidence. I'm like, really, though? We don't know you. But, I mean, Sansa's alone, so I get that she told them, and I'm not upset with her. But, I mean, she basically says, well, he's a monster. But then the two women don't seem fazed. They're like, oh, well, like, thanks for telling us the truth. And I was like,
we thought as much.
Yeah. Marjorie's like, well, I'm still marrying him, but thanks for telling me. Oh, well.
So this is so stupid. But so I love, like, looking at costuming in shows. Mm-hmm. And one thing, first of all, the costuming in the show is amazeballs, but specifically for the people in King's Landing. Like, it's gorgeous. But if you notice, Margaery's dress has a little rose actually on, like, the waist of her, like, the waist bodice area. Okay. But the grandma has a rose in the middle that is, her belt is actually thorns. And I thought that was really cool. And
that is cool.
I love the blue and gold of Margaery's dress. I was just looking at that. I was like, dude, she's so pretty. Like, I could never look like that in a dress. I just want to stare at the clothing. I don't even care what they say. Like, I love the clothes. Anyway, sorry. But okay, what about when she sent the dude away to get the cheese? Does that make you feel like, oh, she actually cares about privacy. Like, maybe it will be good.
I don't know. I mean, I noticed that, but I'm still not sure. I don't know what their intentions, like this whole family. Because even when Sansa was walking with Sir Loras and like, oh, don't you remember when like a couple months ago you gave me your flower or whatever? And I'm like, this dude is gay. Don't talk to him. But she doesn't know. She still thinks he's handsome and whatever.
Yeah, I know. She's crushing on him hard.
I know. And I was like, stop. Just get away from the men at King's Landing. Okay, so overall, like, yeah, the scene ends with them, like, not being shocked that the Joffrey's a monster, but they're like, okay, thanks for telling us, and then we're done.
Yeah, whatevs, yeah.
So then we cut back to Rob and his, party, I don't know, and you find out that they're going to River Run for the funeral. Which the guy that he's with, Karstark, is like, why the hell are we doing this? This is a distraction.
Right. It's a waste of time.
Right. But Rob says, well, we need these men from my grandfather. So this is why this is our ulterior motive for going, is we need the knights and the fighters to help, you know. So we got to pay our respects and then be like, hey, come with us.
Right.
But then Karstark is like, well, you lost the war the day you married Talisa, which... dang.
Yeah, bro.
I don't think he's unfair to say that because he
is a little true. You're right.
Yeah, like you fucked up.
Yeah, dude. Put your head in the game.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And I mean, Kat told you that before you did it too. So like you shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. It's the whole, I'm a bull. I do what I want, mom.
Yeah. It's a shitty teenager in him. It's like, I'm going to marry who I want no matter what. It's like, you made a promise. Fuck promises. Yes. I had sex with this woman and I love her. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Good job, Rob.
It's true.
I think, yeah. Yeah, I'm like, okay, cool. First woman you had sex with, you marry. Neat.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it's how they did it back then.
Well, before then, it was they got married and then they had sex. So they even went out of order, quote, back then in this fake medieval world.
Yeah, bro. No, Tyrion would have 75 wives. So don't even. Do you think it's a waste of time that they're going to the funeral?
When he said that it was to get the men and they were basically saying, well, we don't have enough to really win this war, then I don't think it's a waste of time. I thought it was weird just because he and Kat are still so kind of standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess he's trying to be nice to his mom and they're like, well, we weren't doing anything anyway. So. Let's go. I don't know what their war plan is right now because the Lannisters, they're at King's Landing. I don't know if there are any other war parties out there and they lost Jaime. So like, I mean, what else are you going to do? Sure. Let's go to a funeral for a little bit. I don't know.
For this guy that even mom doesn't care about. Let's do it.
Well, she seemed to care.
I know.
She was upset. She was like, well, the last time I saw him, whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah. The grandfather, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. You're at war.
Yeah, like
you're at war on. And you're getting married and going to funerals. Like, just keep your damn head in the game, bro.
Yeah, he's definitely lost my respect as far as like a war leader and stuff. I'm like, you did so great and then you just got distracted. So what's your problem?
Yes.
But then we get what you brought up earlier about the scene with Talisa and Kat. And
yes. I think
someone was saying, oh, well, Talisa's afraid of Catelyn, which I mean she should be, you know, you fucked all this up and you're like, and you married the dude and whatever. So then she's like, oh, and Kat's like making this thing that I think we saw her make.
It was like a dream catcher or something.
Yeah. I think she was making one when Bran got pushed too. So I think that was one of the times I thought.
Interesting. I didn't notice that
thing. And so she's like, oh, can I help? And Kat's like, no, you know, it's only a thing a mother can make, which was like kind of rude. Like, you're not a mom. And then she like goes on to explain, you know, I make them to protect my children. And she's like, I've only done it a few times. And I made it for one of them who got the pox. And, you know, surprise twist, it was Jon Snow. And I was like, oh, my gosh, we're going to get this like really cool story of like, and it was an interesting story that, you know, when Ned brought him back, she prayed that he would just die because she was jealous. And then he got sick and she regretted it and said, you know, if he lives, then I'll treat him like my own and love him. And then like you said before, she couldn't, you know, he lived and she said I couldn't even keep that promise. So, and then she says, I believe that everything that's happening to me is because I couldn't love John. And I'm like, well, that's a little extreme because I don't know when that happened. So like, you know, karma's not that much of a bitch that like, you know, how, like 6 years later, it came back to you or something. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, she's awful. Like in the book, dude, she's such a bitch to him. Like it's so, she's just terrible. She's such an asshole.
It wasn't as clear, I think, in the show. And I think it had to be pointed out to me that she wasn't as nice to him as, you know, some of the other siblings were and stuff like that. But and then with this story, I was getting confused too. So I was like, well, I didn't think he was that nice, but I was like, well, maybe like, and then I was like, well, his name didn't. So I guess I was too dumb to realize, well, the end of the story is going to be bad because she didn't keep any of those promises. But I was like, oh, well, this is a good story. And then she's like, and I did nothing. And I'm like, oh, you're mean.
Yeah.
What was the point of this story? Like, you were a shit woman and you think this is karma? I don't know. It was weird.
Yes. I just can't even imagine wishing, like praying to gods that they would kill a child, like a baby. Like that's how effed this lady is about him.
Yeah. And like, and it's so interesting because, you know, when you're introduced to these characters, you think, all right, well, at least I went into it thinking you didn't. These are going to be the good ones. These are the bad ones. This is very obvious. But no, everyone's just incredibly gray. And
yes!
People do good things. People do bad things. Like even you know, the most honorable Ned Stark came back from war with a baby. Like, right. Like, you know, the best person out there still made a huge mistake. And then it affected his marriage and his wife and how she lived the rest of her life and everything. Like, mm-hmm. So nobody's great. Nobody's great. And it's real. But it's frustrating for me as like a viewer because I wasn't expecting this real in like a fantasy place.
Well, also, weren't you kind of hoping for a better Jon Snow, Catelyn backstory kind of thing? Like, weren't you hoping it was a little bit more exciting or interesting or something?
It was interesting to hear more about her and her life and their lives and that she, you know, she cared for him and she made sure he was okay and whatever. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, this is going to be more. And then, yeah, it was just like, and then I said, fuck it, because I was still mad. Like, what? Why? You're so mean.
Yeah. Yes, she is mean.
Yeah, I'm liking her less and less. So then we go to the Wildlings camp. And they got John a new coat so he can blend in.
Yay, John!
Yay! So he's talking to Mance and, oh, is it hard to kill Corin? John says yes. Like, was it though? I don't know. It seemed pretty easy. but then Mance was like, you know, if you're a traitor, I'll kill you. I don't know. It's like, it's not easy if I have to kill you for being a traitor.
I liked that. I felt like he was honest.
Mance? Oh, yeah. He, no nonsense. I think, you know, yeah, he has, but he has no reason to lie to John. He's like, well, you know, cool, you can help me. And, you know, you seem chill now, but if you fuck with me, I'll kill you.
Right. And I think he said something about how he has wildling blood. I liked that. But yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know too much. The only thing we know about Mance is that he used to be part of the Night's Watch and then left.
Right. So he's a defector.
Yes. So he talks about how he united all the armies and he's like, do you know how I did that? Because these people hate each other. And he's like, you know, I just basically told them we're all going to die if we don't go south. And so that's their motivation is we don't want to die. So that's why they're working together. And I'm like, okay, that could have been like a cooler answer.
Right. I know. I think. And he's also said something like, I told him the truth. That's what united him. It's like, no, it didn't, bro. It's because they were going to die. Like, that's not really a uniting thing.
Like, yeah. I was like, because he was building up to like this. And then it was like, just because they're, and I was like, oh, so it's all selfish. Like, they're all just looking out for themselves. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did think it was interesting, though, that he talked about, a lot of times you just hear about the wildlings, right? Or like the north of the wall. But I thought it was pretty cool how he was like, I don't know all the names. Like, there's the Fens and the Hornbeaks or whatever. He's like, there's the mountain fuckers. I thought that was real interesting. And then he was like, and everybody hates the cave people or something like that.
And I was like, okay, we're getting more into like, you know, they're not just all one people. Like, you know, everyone
south of the wall isn't just one person. So right. Yeah, they're quote humanizing the wildlings as much as they can. We're with them more, because our only other example was OSHA before, and I think I would say that most people, you know, at this point probably like her because you know, she's doing good, but who knows. So and then we find out something else weird that can happen in this world is this dude can see through animals. He can enter the mind of an animal, and it's called a warg. And then Egret's like, oh, you've never heard of that, Jon Snow? And he's just like, no. Like, why would I assume this? I've lived in a castle my entire life. Nothing cool happened there. No.
Yeah. I know, she's like, you idiot, Jon Snow. You didn't know that you could roll your eyes back in the back of your fucking head and climb into an animal's nutsack. You didn't know it. Like, what?
Yeah, like the whole thing with giant. Oh, you've never seen a giant before? And it's like, no, no, I haven't. I'm sorry. I've been sheltered. So the dude that's the warg, he says that he saw at the Feast of the First Men that there were dead crows, which we all know that they call the Night's Watch crows. So, and that's where the rest of the Night's Watch party was, at the Feast of the First Men. And we knew that the White Walkers were coming, so people died, which we already knew from the previous episode. But now, then that means that, you know, John doesn't know who died, if it was all of them, if it was his friends or who he cared about. So he's just kind of like, well, people are hurt and I don't know why. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But then we leave them, and then we go to that little whatever's left of the Night's Watch party. This guy, Rast, is like giving shit to Sam, which why? Like, why? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems pointless. And then Sam gives up and his two, quote, friends that left him, you know, come and try and help him. And then the Lord Commander comes. And I thought it was really kind of nice that he was like, well, I forbid you to die. So now you have to follow the order. It was really sweet. And then, but then he puts the rude guy in charge of Sam. And he's like, if he gets back alive, then you're good. But if he doesn't, you won't be either. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is going to be weird. Like,
oh no, dude, I loved that. I love it.
You did? Why?
Because so we have four kids.
Yes.
And I have learned through talking to like lots of different moms and trial and error that, like, let's say your kids are fighting and one's being a huge dick to the other kid. A lot of parents oftentimes will be like, I'm going to split you guys up because you can't get along. No, no, sir. You got to put them together. That's when you're like, go to the bathroom together. And when I come in and you're happy, then I'll let you guys, or whatever. Like, whenever somebody's just being terrible to the other person or whatever, like, you gotta, I don't know. It's like, make them be closer.
So you think it's a tactic to make them become friends, kind of.
Or at least to like soften one of their hearts. You know what I mean? Like,
it seemed like a threat. Like, you know, you better stop messing with this guy and help him or else I kill you.
I mean, okay, yeah, that's what it is. I'm just saying, in practical life, like, for me, it's like, if you're not nice to your sister, you're losing screen time today. Which to them is death, really. So I am the Lord Commander.
I mean, yeah, obviously, you have a big sword and everything.
That's right.
You told me. Okay, so yeah, I'm not hopeful about it, but it seems like you are confident that it could get better. So that's good that maybe I'm just reading it wrong, because I like Sam and I don't want anything to happen to him, but I am concerned because he's without John, he's having a rough time.
Well, I also like that the Lord Commander is showing the douchey guy, like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
He's saying, like, I'm watching and I see what's happening. And I think by him saying, like, if Sam is dead, you're in trouble kind of thing, is as in, like, maybe he can sense that there's trouble brewing and he doesn't want that shit. And so he knows, I don't know, because like the people on the Night's Watch are some shady mofos, you know, even though they all work together.
Yeah.
They come from some shady situations.
Yeah. A lot of them didn't choose to come there. So that's a good point. But yeah, that's a good point. They're not all great people. They're not all like John, who just wants to be a hero and volunteered. A lot of them, it was either that or death. And you're like, all right, cool. Well, guess that's what I'm doing.
Neat. Yeah, exactly. I guess I'd rather not die. Yeah. But then you hear the walkers are coming, dude. I'd be like, F this. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Kill me now. Just jump off the wall. Pretty much. Let's see. So then we go, we're back to the younger Stark kids.
Yeah.
And we've got Bran waking up to Osha and his wolf, I believe. They were like on edge and waiting for something to come. Like they knew something was out there. So then Osha like runs off to go find it. And then that dang kid appears again, Jojen. Yes. He's like, sup, dude. And and then Osha comes back. And then I don't remember what he said, but he's like, oh, you know, my sister. Oh, because I think Osha threatened him. She's like, well, you didn't come here with a sword or anything. And Jojen's like, that's what my sister's for. And then the sister appears. And I was like, dang. Okay. And then they say, then she says, oh, well, you know, that wolf's going to, you know, tear you apart if you come any closer. And then he like makes the wolf calm down, which like, this is bad. And then he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm Jojen Reed and this is my sister. And we've been trying to find you and you have much further to go. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, okay, cool. And like, that's where they end that part of the scene. I'm like, oh, well, this doesn't seem good. So then we check in with Arya, who we haven't seen for a little bit. And Gendry wants to know why Arya didn't give Jaqen like bigger names of people to kill. He's like, you could have ended the war, and she just doesn't want to argue about it. And he's like, well, he helped us escape, so like the end. And it seems like they're kind of lost because like they don't know where they're going. And Arya decides she wants to go to River Run because that's where her grandfather is, which looks like everyone's going to River Run at this point. Yeah. So then this group of men appear on the trail and find the kids. The leader's name is Thoros. And then they're part of the Brotherhood Without Banners and wants to know how they escaped Harrenhal. And I think Hot Pie was the one that said these were the guys that the mountain was looking for. And I think the ones that they were questioning all the people about at Harrenhal, they were looking for the Brotherhood. So, I mean, they basically forced the three kids to come with them. It wasn't like a choice. No, they were like, all right, you know, you're coming with us. We'll feed you. And then you're going to tell us how you escaped, which that doesn't sound good.
Right. Exactly. Sorry, children. You don't have a choice. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't just, you know, leave them alone. It's like, okay, well, and like, why? So their motivation is confusing to me. So that doesn't seem great. Then we go back to King's Landing, and this is when Tyrion talks to Shay. He walks into his room, and she's there, and he's like, oh my god, why?
Yeah, I told you not to come. Yeah.
Yeah, my father will kill you, literally. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, you said I could come to you if I had a problem, and I have a problem. So she tells him she's concerned about Sansa and Littlefinger, and that Roz warned her. But then she gets distracted by the fact that she finds out Tyrion had sex with Roz. And I'm like, why? Like you said, like, why are you being like this? Like you knew how he was. So like, why are you? And then she jumps back to, oh, well, I want, you know, you to protect Sansa. And Tyrion's like, well, I can't now because she's not going to be in my family. So lots of other families are going to want to grab her up and have her marry our son. So like, there's nothing I can do. And then he says, she's pretty, and Shay gets mad again. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you being like this?
Yeah. Like, hey, girl, you're a prostitute. Like, come on.
But she's not. Well, I guess she kind of is.
I mean, but that's how she met him.
That's how she met him.
She know how he do or how he used to do, you know?
Right. So, yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was an odd. And then they got over the argument really quickly. So I'm like, what was the point of this?
The writers were just wasting time talking about Tyrion doing it. Yeah.
Right. And like thinking other. It's like the normal argument of like, well, do you think that girl's pretty? Do you think that girl's pretty? Is she prettier than me? Who did you date before me? I'm just like, oh, my God. Like you.
Yes.
Like you came to him with a problem. Like this is a serious thing. And then you're all of a sudden like jealous of some girl that you're protecting. You're like, he's not going to want to have sex with Sansa. So like, be cool. What is your problem?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Very weird.
Yes.
I don't know. So, cause then like Tyrion won't help. So like, that was the end. Basically it's like, he's not going to do anything.
No, the end is she gave him a BJ. That's what it ended with.
Well, we don't know what it ended with.
Okay.
Let's be real. We don't know where it ended.
That's right. The scene faded out at the beach.
It did. We don't know.
He could have said, get off of me. I don't like this. I want Loris. We don't know.
Sure. That's what he said. Sure.
Yeah, dude, I didn't like that scene, honestly. I just feel like it didn't add anything to anything. Like,
no. I mean, unless, like, later he's going to change his mind in another episode and help her. Like, it was pointless. Because, I mean, I was excited that she came to him because he has been, like, silently looking out for her while she was engaged to Joffrey. But now I guess he's like, well, it's out of my hands. And I'm like, that's not like you to right. not look out for people. So why are you?
Right.
So then we're still in King's Landing, but we go to Margaery. And she's walking around with purpose, flanked by like one guard. And she goes to see Joffrey in his room. But, you know, then he says, oh, he wanted to see her. So that's why she went. We're like, okay. So apparently he's going on a hunting trip, which like fake father, like fake son. I don't know. It's very odd.
It's what you do. Listen, Emily, if you were royal, you would know that's what you just do that. Okay. Jeez.
All right. Wow.
Hunting parties all day for our days.
All right. You drink too, apparently, or I guess don't drink, according to his father.
Yeah, and you don't wear flowers.
I need lions. So he wanted to check on her, like, oh, are you cool before I leave? But then he, like, turns the conversation really quickly to, like, asking her why she didn't have sex with Renly, because that was the whole thing of, oh, she was married, but they didn't consummate the marriage, so it's chill. Like, right. didn't count. And so he's right. like, why, like, what's up? Like, why? And he's and like, she seemed a little like off, but like, this is the first time I kind of see her like flustered. Like, she didn't know exactly what to say.
Well, I mean, that's awkward. Imagine like you were betrothed to somebody and they were like, so did you or did you not have sex with that guy? It's just like, I mean.
Yeah. Also, the fact that like this kid looks like 15 and the man that she married actually looked like her age. And I'm like, ugh. And I don't even think Joffrey's really. He didn't seem very comfortable talking about it either. They both seem very uncomfortable. But in so many words, Margaery says, well, I'm pretty sure Drew was gay, and seemed to allude that when Renly was drunk once, he wanted to have anal sex with her. Like, am I reading that right?
Yeah, girl, I think you are.
Okay, because I was, she said, yeah, doing something that would hurt and not make children. I'm like, well, that's the only thing I can think of. So I guess that's what we're saying. And then Joffrey looked very uncomfortable.
You obviously haven't had ear or armpit sex like the royals. Well,
I guess oh my God, you're right. Yeah, I guess I haven't been doing it right.
I know. They talked a lot this episode about like who's gay, right? Like that was like.
But it was only about the same person.
Yeah, that's true.
It was all about Renly. So then, yeah, Joffrey does not seem comfortable with any of this, but he's like, oh, you know, well, we had, you know, heard rumors about him for a while. And I've thought, basically said he thought about making homosexuality a crime punishable by death. And then Margaery is right. like, oh, as you should as king. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then starts showing off his bow and how it works. And, but then she like, she like gets really into it and like, you know, plays it out like, because this is what he's interested in. He didn't want to talk about sex. He wanted to talk about this weapon that he has and how cool it is. And then she's like, oh, well, will you take me sometime? And can I try it? And I was like, is she like playing into this violent part of him now? Because he seems really excited that she wanted to kill something. This is my theory, is that she asked Sansa so that she could figure out what way to get him to actually be interested in her and see, oh, we have a common interest of killing things. So let's get together on this. So I like, that's my very off theory of like, this is, I mean, obviously I don't think this is how she is normally, but she saw that it was working and she's like, all right, well, this is working. So this is what we're going to focus on.
Right. You know, when we talked about, well, I guess I talked at you about how Jaime uses his mouth as a powerful weapon. I think that she's using her womanly, like her womanly wiles. Like she knows she's beautiful and she knows that Joffrey is interested in women, you know, but that there's also, she's heard he's a monster. And so I think she went in there with like a veil of like a character, you know what I'm saying? Like she put it on as a thing of protection and she could tell it was exciting him. I don't think she's actually like excited about it at all. And I think it shows that like as she's stroking his crossbow, she's actually the weapon. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm pulling a whole Great Gatsby on you, like the yellow daisies and the yellow car.
Oh, my God. The eyeglasses, the spectacles or whatever on the billboard. It's been so long since I've read that book. Jesus.
Dude, I hate when they're like, show the like the meaning of everything. And you're like, I just like this story.
Well, I was an English major, so I did write many a paper on that. But I didn't always believe what I was writing. So I was good at making up imagery.
You were being Marjorie. Pretending to be into the crossbow. You were using your wiles, bro.
Absolutely. Yeah. My written wiles. Yeah, so that's like she's definitely like she's getting more into his like inner circle. So I think Cersei's gonna find herself further and further away from him. So she's doing a great job with the information that she was given.
Definitely. But it's also always dangerous to get close to a Lannister because they're sneaky bitches.
Yeah, and it worries me that, like, you know, because he is a violent, twisted person, and so what is this going to bring out of him if she encourages that? Like, that's true. Does she really know what she's doing? Right. Kind of, but then we don't know where it's going to go from here, so who knows?
Right, because we've seen this countless times in movies where people think they know how to use the enemy, and they get so screwed, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so she's doing all right so far, but we'll see how it ends up. So then we cut back to Theon's torture chamber. Were they screwing something into his foot?
Girl, I don't watch it.
You didn't look. The
first time I saw it with my husband, right. I bit his shoulder and closed my eyes and
squished him. Oh my God. Ow.
This time, I was torturing him basically. I can't deal with it. When I didn't have kids, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Like her nipples are getting ripped off. Now that I have kids, something happened. I can't do it.
All right.
So I sort of I would watch his face grimace and then I'd be like, and I'd look away. Okay. So,
all right. So they're doing something to hurt him, basically. I mean, and they just keep saying that they want to know the truth. And Theon's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So then they keep asking, why did you take Winterfell? And he gives like three different versions of the truth. And I guess the last one, I can't remember what the last one he said. Oh, it was like to bring honor or something to his family. Yeah, because
he said he hated the Starks, I think. He like yelled it.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't know. And they decided like that was it for a while. But then they put the bag over and leave him. Mm-hmm. And then this inconspicuous guy that's like mopping by him was like, oh, Yara sent me to help you. And he like loosens the screws and he says, well, I'll come for you at night. And then Theon's like, wait, no. And then the guy leaves. They're like, okay.
Right.
I don't know if I should trust this random dude.
Right. I was so excited when I saw that person. I can tell you that. I was like, yes.
I was.
He's going to be saved.
Like, I don't know. He could be lying. I mean, who else could Theon trust? I mean, obviously trust the dude that's helping you escape, but only to a certain point.
Which one of the things did he yell out? Did you believe any of it that he was yelling for why he did it?
I'm trying to remember all of them now. I don't believe that he hates the Starks. I think that was the fake one. One of the fake ones. I think he was just doing it to prove to his father because his father's such a dick and his father doesn't believe he can do anything. Right. And yet he did it without anyone like telling him to because he was supposed to go like off the coast or something. And then he was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take Winterfell and it's going to be awesome.
Right.
And it wasn't. So
right. And also like, I think it's the same thing with like, you think you're yielding the weapon accurately and it just gets out of your hands.
Yes. Overall, I think that, Theon was just dealt a poor hand in general. I think his father is mad that he ended up the way that he did, but his father was the one that sent him away. So Theon, and you know, in season two, when he sees him and he kind of stands up to him, like, you're the one that sent me away. Like, that's the reason I am the way I am. Like, I can't, you know, he couldn't learn how to be an Iron Islander with all the Starks. So, like, you know, he just wanted acceptance and his father didn't give it to him. So that's why he's lashed out and acted so unlike himself. Rob was his brother, basically. Like, they were close. They were tight. Even if Theon didn't like Jon, he liked Rob. And so just to completely betray him for a family that didn't even raise him, like, but I mean, even I think in the season finale, he was talking to Maester Luwin and he's like, well, I've gone too far. Like, I can't help myself now. So I might as well go down with the ship. And then that's when he gets attacked by his own crew. So we'll see.
This show's insane.
So then we go back to the younger Starks. We've got Jojen and his sister and they've just joined their party. Rickon like the wild idiot he is, just decides to run off. And Bran's like, it's okay. The wolves will protect him. Like, what the fuck is this kid doing? So then they have a real conversation where Jojen says that Bran is a warg because he saw through his wolf, but the raven is something different. He's like, don't you remember? I told you it's you. You have the sight as well as being a warg. Like, he kind of had information because they're like, oh, well, your father's whoever Howland Reed is. And then Bran's like, oh, well, he saved our father at the rebellion. And then Jojen's like, oh, we never got to hear about the rebellion, but I saw it, wink, wink, because I can see things. And then, and I think, and I think Bran was like, well, what else did you see? And Jojen's like, I kept seeing you. So that's why I guess he was trying to find him.
It's weird. Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, you have a dream, and then, like, the next day, someone's like, I finally found – Bran's face did not show how scary that would be. Like, that's insane.
Well, he's also been through a lot of shit in the last year. Like, he was pushed out a window. He saw incest. Yeah. He has, like, dreams about his father being killed, about people, dreams with a dang demon raven. And, like, all his family runs away. So, like – what else is new? Oh, I can talk to animals, basically. Neat. I can see the future. I already kind of knew that because I saw my dad die. So, okay, cool.
Dude, it's just too weird. And how did they find him? How did they find exactly where he was in this world where people don't even know where they are? It's just weird. It's crazy, dude.
No, it's weird. And, like, we don't even know where they came from because we just know that the maester told Osha, I think, to go north to the wall. So that's where they're going. We don't know where they are in that journey, and we don't know where these kids came from. So,
yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Do you trust them?
I don't know. The sister's kind of weird, and Osha doesn't like her for sure.
No.
But she's very protective anyway, which I appreciate. But Bran's like, look, a friend that, you know, has the same things that I do. Neat.
Right.
Which, I mean, he deserves a friend because he's gone through a lot. But I'm not sure. It depends on what they think his journey is, because they didn't say, like, we're taking you to the wall. They just said, you have a long way to go. Where do they think he's going? Where do they think he should go? I'm not sure.
I wrote when they were in this scene that we're talking about. Sorry, hold on. That she, Osha's like, a boy his age shouldn't be having a sister, you know, a woman caring for him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that Mira says something like,
oh, some people will always need help.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they don't deserve it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, Osha, like, you're giving her shit and you're literally protecting a boy and a man. Like, okay, they need help, but, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. It was nice. I guess she was put down a peg. Like, obviously, like, you know, in this world, not everyone can fend for themselves. So is that a reason to not help them? So yeah, I did like that. That was nice.
And Mira and Jojen, they seem so, like, plucky or something. Like, for kids that apparently – Mira's apparently this, like, ninja warrior, and Jojen's, like, this possible magical dude. They seem very, like, hello. And I just remember being kind of weirded out by their appearance. To me, I just remember reading about it. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it just was strange, I guess.
It's an odd twist that I did not see coming at all. Like, oh, they're going to gain more people in their little party, and now they have a purpose. Like, you know, like every good fantasy of
the guild.
Yeah, yeah, where they have a mission and they gain more NPCs and stuff. but yeah, I don't know. It's just more characters to keep track of, really. So it's annoying.
It's insane.
So then we go and we're at some little tavern with Arya and the boys and the Brotherhood. And they really want to know how they escaped. And Arya's like, oh, with our swords. And Gendry's a blacksmith and then tries to challenge Thoros, which, like, okay, like, you know, we get that you're, like, plucky and 14 or whatever, but, like, why don't challenge him? Like, he's not abusing you. So there's no reason really do that. But I mean, they were like, okay, well, you know, we fed you and you told us your quote story, so you can go now. So they are, like, heading out, and then all these other men from the Brotherhood come in with this giant man with a bag over his head, and surprise, it's the fucking Hound.
Woo! He's there.
Yay, but also not yay, because he and Thoros know each other, and then the Hound sees Arya leaving, and he's just like, why the fuck is she here? And you're like, oh my God, why? Why did you say that?
I love it.
But it's upsetting to me because, like, he seemed to care so much about Sansa, but then you have to call out this other girl that it's her family. Like, why did you do that? I don't understand.
I love it, dude. Listen, when you see the Hound, like, you know shit's going down. Like,
well, I was hoping not, but yeah, I knew it was, yeah.
I just feel like that character, the shit that involves him and, like, the stuff that's around him, there's always some – and also the Hound gives zero fucks. He's like, I don't even have an eye. So, basically. So, like, I give zero – I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like the Hound has this – I don't know, this, like, snarling way he speaks and, like, I don't know. The way he cared for Sansa, even though she didn't listen to him, it just seems to me that he's almost – I took it as he was mad. I get, like, after reading reviews that he was, like, calling her out and it was shitty.
Yeah.
I saw it. I took it more as he was pissed that there would be the Stark girl with them. Does that make – like, why are you taking – like – basically, she's this little kid. Like, what are you doing? Is the way I first took it.
Yeah, but we don't know. We don't know the relationship between the Hound and Thoros. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they captured him. But they know each other. Yeah. So, like, why? He could have just not said anything. And then they could have left. But now, who knows? We don't know anything about the Brotherhood. He says, oh, we fight for... people, or I don't know, he said some bullshit about, like, we fight for the people or something like that.
Right.
But it's like, okay, what are you really doing? And what are you going to do with someone, with one of the families who's involved in this giant war? Like, that's not great.
You're going to eat a rotisserie chicken. Do you ever watch them eat these chickens in the show? I don't even eat meat, and they look so good. All the tavern food.
Last episode, they had this other guy who was eating, like, a whole chicken, and I was like, man. That looks good. Like, yeah, I can eat a rotisserie chicken right now.
Yeah, dude, I love the tavern scenes. I'm not going to – I don't know what it is.
There aren't that many of them, but they're a nice change.
It's just that, like, feeling of a little bit of the world, I guess. I don't know. I'm really nerdy.
It's not anyone fighting. It's nice to see food. I mean, for someone who plans my vacation time around food, I do appreciate food. So
please. Yes. Yes. So Game of Groans should be the sound of my stomach when my kids go to bed. And I'm like, what am I going to eat now?
Everything. Yeah, pretty much. Well, that's what I'll be doing when I get off this is I'll be eating.
Oh, yes.
I eat all the time now.
Oh, you're so cute.
you're fine. So then our last scene is one that we kind of talked about a little bit, but it's Brienne and Jaime, one of our favorite couples. And So then, you know, Jaime is commentating on Brienne's thought process of either taking the bridge and being seen or crossing the water and possibly getting lost.
Yes. I know. He was such a shit, wasn't he? Something like.
He was so bad.
I love it.
So they decide to take the bridge and Jaime's a dick. And then he's like, oh, I just want to sit down. And I was like, oh, my God, no. Oh, my God, no. And then she, like, comes over to grab him, and he grabs one of her swords. But surprise, she has two, so they both have a sword. And then, like, he's still in handcuffs, but for whatever reason can still sword fight fairly well. And I was like, okay, good for you. And then they have a good fight, but then, like, he gets tired because, like, you can hear him, like, breathing really heavily. And then all of a sudden they're approached by these men on horses, which Jaime calls them – or the one guy, the flayed man of House Bolton, which what the fuck is that? And then they pull up the old man that we had seen before. And he's like, yep, that's them. I saw him fighting in whatever in King's Landing. And then Jaime, like, turns back to Brienne and is like, damn it. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to turn. I think they said they were going to turn him into Rob, which, okay, like. We don't know this dude at all or anything. And so, like, it ends with them, like, backing up, like, but, you know, either Brienne is going to kill all the dudes, which good for her, or he's captured. So we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think Jaime said something like, my dad will pay you, like, anything you want. The Lannisters are known of being, like, the wealthiest family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he was like, oh, well, I don't want to be caught, you know, with your head or something. And he was like, well, I'd just rather give you it over to the Starks. So
right, I know, it did kind of annoy me, like, okay, I know Brienne's tough, but like, come on, dude. Like when it ended with her backing up with the sword against them, I was like, girl, come on, just put your damn sword.
Just do it. Yeah. I mean, we've seen her take out multiple men before without Jaime.
That's true. Or you're right. Or just fight. Fight or die, bro.
He has a sword too, so they could always gang up together and like fight them off, and then you're on a bridge, you can push people over. Who knows?
Yeah. Do all the fancy things.
Yes. This is the time to do the fancy things. So, I mean, yeah, that's the end of the episode. So how was it jumping into just one episode? It seems you had a little trouble keeping track.
A little? Yeah. It was obviously extremely difficult. No, I think it was very interesting. So like I do hair. I'm a hairstylist. So we don't have HBO anymore. In order for me to watch this,
oh no,
I had to do somebody's hair to get their CD copy, their DVD copy.
Oh, dang.
I know. Oh, it's okay. It was an enjoyable time had by all. And but I will say like it got me excited because we have a bookshelf and all of our books are on it and I have it just so. And like this bookshelf only has like the most treasured literary possessions of my household. Mm-hmm. And so like it was kind of fun to go like dust it off and like, I don't know, just get into that excitement again, I guess. Cause I don't know, the show's over. You know what I'm saying?
Technically. Yeah. Like,
and I'm still waiting on a book for 75 years.
Yep.
So it was kind of fun to like get that that hunger again for it. But obviously it was difficult to keep track of time. I'm like the time traveler's wife. I don't know where the fuck I am.
Yeah. You're a time traveler. It's fine.
Literally, even talking about the episode, I couldn't keep track of what happened at what point in the episode. I was like, oh, that's when Jojen, you're like, no, that's the last scene. You fart. It's literally the last thing that happened, and I bring it up first. What the fuck?
No, you're fine. That's why I take my notes very extensively.
Well, you are my first ever podcast guest that – not guest. What, we know what I'm saying. The first podcast person I met across
the world.
It's like an actual podcaster. Haven't ever spoke to one.
Cool.
And I was really scared, and – even though I'm super outgoing, like there's still like an anxiety there, you know.
Yes.
I had already flubbed before I met you, so I was like,
"No, I get." And my husband would tell you when I was recording and he was around, I would always get really anxious and start like sweating and like complain about before I would interview anyone, and then afterwards we'd be like, "How was it?" And I'd be like, "Oh my god, it was so great! And we talked for so long, and it was this good." And
I do the same thing. I get so stressed beforehand. Yes.
So don't worry. It's very normal because he's like, oh my God, I can't believe you. Like every time you enjoy it, you know you're going to like it. Just do it. And I'm like, I know.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay. So since we're basically the end of the episode, would you like to tell everyone about your podcast?
So I have a podcast. It's called Nesting with the Early Birds because my last name's Early. I'm a mom of four, a homeschooler, super nerdy, and my whole jam is I just want to empower and encourage women. I know that a lot of us can feel lonely when we're doing motherhood or wifehood or friendhood, like whatevs. And I just wanted to share with other people like, hey, man, you're not alone. Other people might be going through something you're going through.
What's your favorite topic that you've talked about recently on your podcast?
I really enjoy helping women in so many different facets of their life. So I've, you know, spoken with we had a breast surgeon come on, talk about women's health. And she was actually the founder of the Virginia Breast Center for Women. And that was pretty badass. And I just have been talking to moms about what struggles are they going through. Mm-hmm. We've talked about like survivors of abuse. Mm-hmm. I just want to share with women that basically before you judge another lady, like you don't know what baggage she's carrying, and that we should really encourage each other. And just understand that so many people have a story to tell. And basically, that's my jam.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's so much – and I'm not – I don't know if you would even call me a mom yet. But, like, there's so much, like, other mom groups judging each other. And I just see so much stuff online of, like, if you don't do it this way, then we're not friends and all this stuff. So you're right. Like, there's so much more to it. And you should be – you're all experiencing this one thing of having children. So like, why would you not want to band together and help each other?
Exactly. That's definitely it. And like, also, okay, like a big thing I will be talking about soon is like postpartum depression, for instance. Mm. I think that so many people talk about, you know, mental health is starting to be talked about more, but there's still a little bit more things that we're a little bit more hushed about, or maybe women don't understand totally, like, oh, I thought for postpartum depression, I had to feel sad. Well, no, that's not the only thing. Mm-hmm. Or like, for instance, two of my children are on the autism spectrum. So I do talk about that quite a bit. One's a girl and one's a boy, and it actually looks very different in both. Oh. And that's another thing I like to share with people, you know? So I just feel like so much life has been thrown at me and my family that if I can share anything I've learned from it to one person and it helps them, then mm-hmm. boom, we're good, you know?
That's awesome. You're doing much better for the community than I am with my podcast. Mine's just
a shitty. Don't say that. You gave me a free place to cuss. A free place to cuss and nerd out. I never get to nerd out anymore.
That's so funny.
All right, I mean, sort of, but.
Yeah, but not as much as you can. Right. Okay. But no, that sounds awesome. And I am excited to check that out. And then everyone else should as well. I never know how to end these. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this and watch the episode and record with me. I really appreciate it. And then we can do another one soon.
Yay. Emily, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking a chance on me.
Oh, of course. No,
I really appreciate it.
It's always good to get new perspectives. All right. Talk to you later.
See you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. The next episode is coming out on February 9th, but be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Word of mouth is so important, so please tell a friend about the podcast or even leave a review. Every little bit helps our community and the podcast grow. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Game of Groans Pod, on Facebook at Game of Groans Podcast. You can email me at gameofgroanspod@gmail.com, and the website is www.gameofgroanspod.com. Game of Groans was created, hosted, edited, and produced by Emily Bateman, and the music is by Simon Dom.